So welcome to the next episode of Going There with the Grassy. This is Ricky Z.
And hey, this is Robin.
So thank you to everyone that listened to our first episode. Like, that's so exciting. We posted it finally, and you know.
I'm just happy to like talk about Degrassi for an hour,
right?
Like, without like it being like annoying to someone who's like, I'm blowing up their phone with my text messages about Degrassi.
Yes.
I'm like, listen, I love this show.
Like, it's really comforting. So today's episode is about slut shaming. So like we said before, like, we're not gonna go through every single episode season by season. We want to talk about big overlying topics that Degrassi covered and whether or not they did a good job with it. So This one is about slut shaming. And of course, you cannot talk about slut shaming without talking about the queen, love of my life, the sparkle in my eye, Manuela Manny Santos, and Miss Bianca.
D'Souza. I've actually been watching these seasons like with Alex lately. Mm-hmm. Literally making him watch Degrassi. Like,
of course.
He's always like I'll be like, I'm sorry, I'm making you watch this like teen drama. He's like, no, it's like very entertaining, Robin.
It is. Oh my god.
But I've been watching like around the Bianca times. I actually like have moved a little past her. Like, she just dumped Drew. Did his turkey dump. Like, she had a glow up.
of course she deserved. So of course we gotta start with, you know, Manny Santos. So when Manuela, because I will always call her Manuela on Twitter, like Manuela Santos, she's that girl, always.
She's an icon.
She is an icon. And so when we are first introduced to Manny in season one, like, she is your quintessential bubbly, cutesy with the pigtails and the scrunchies and the bright colored clothes. Like, very cute. She was a baby. She really was. And she was a baby. And the thing is, like, she wasn't dumb. She wasn't like, I wouldn't call her like an airhead. She wasn't an airhead. She just seemed a little naive. A lot of the time.
She was like in the seventh grade.
So that's what we see Manny. And we don't get to see much of her outside of her relationship with Emma and, you know, Liberty.
She's kind of a sidekick for a minute there.
She is. And
she doesn't get like a very many like main plots.
No, she doesn't. And then you start seeing that change a little bit with season two. So, like, in season one, we see her, like, becoming part of the spirit squad with Paige and Hazel. And that's kind of, like, where you start to see her more, like, into becoming popular or being well-liked, because she's kind of getting to be outside of Emma's shadow a little bit, because Emma is probably the most headstrong of the two at the time.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I love that cheerleading episode where she joins the spirit squad. Like, I think it's really cute, and they're actually, like, talking about, like, what is actual feminism at that point? Right. Like, very early. But, like, yeah, Manny doesn't really come into her own until a little bit later.
Right. And so in season two, we start to see things change with the introduction of your favorite heartthrob, Craig Manning.
Listen, now, I thought he was so hot when I was younger.
Look, side note, I don't think Craig would be as big of a thing as he was if it wasn't for Jake Epstein.
Oh no, Jake Epstein, like, is 100% one of the best actors on the show.
Right, like, but the, like, just the allure of Craig, you know, like, this, you know, not insecure, but, like, you're kind of, like, mystery, artsy guy.
He's just
emotional.
He's mentally ill.
Right, we find out, you know, eventually later on, you know, I don't think there would have been an appeal for him if it wasn't for Jake Epstein. But,
oh, no, I
know,
agree.
But back into that. So, like, you know, we meet Craig, and, of course, both her and Emma have a crush on him because it's this mystery older boy. And I keep forgetting, like, there are moments when, like, I keep thinking that, like, Craig is way older than Manny. But, no, they're, like, only a year apart, technically.
It's just that Manny was, like, so, like, wee. Like, she was so little. She had her little pigtails all the time.
Right.
Like,
she was very cute.
She was just cutesy.
She was very cutesy. And then, so, like, they both like him, and it ends up being, like, Craig kind of is kind of into Manny. Mm-hmm. And she gets the courage to ask him on a date, and it happens, and, you know, she's thinking it's, like, the best day ever, and he's just like, you remind me of my kid sister. Side note, his kid sister was her kid sister, so.
Yeah, I love that. Like, I love that actress's, like, weird trajectory on this show. Like, first she's just, like, playing Angela, and then, like, she comes back and she's Tori.
Right.
Like, no, what on earth?
Like, no, ma'am, you're Angela. Quit playing with this. But,
honestly, right? Like, I was like, why? But maybe they just didn't make her Angela because they couldn't get, Pat, what's his last name, who plays
Joey
Jeremiah back. Because, like, if we had the Angela, like, we would obviously want some, like, Joey and Snake and Spike content.
Yeah, you would think so. And then eventually, like, you might want to get some Craig back in there. Yeah. But, you know, of course that didn't happen.
Craig comes back, I think, like, once during next class.
Yeah.
And, like,
I think fans probably would have expected more of it. Mm-hmm. Than he would be willing to do, which I understand.
Okay.
But, like, so I mentioned all this stuff with Craig because her feelings and the relationship with Craig pretty much, like, began the trajectory of the rest of her time at Degrassi Community School. So, mm-hmm. eventually, you know, she tries to go beyond the being the cutesy girl, cute bubbly girl, to being the iconic rhinestone blue thong wearing girl.
Oh my god, the whale tail.
The whale tail with the low rise jeans, and may they ever stay in the ground.
Listen, anybody trying to bring back low rise jeans can literally fight me.
We're not doing it. I don't have it. I can't do it anymore. And so she's having to deal with, like, she's getting popularity in the wrong sense of, like, she's getting lots of male attention. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you start seeing more of the, you start seeing some of the slut shaming coming in from there, mm-hmm. just because of how she's dressing. And, like, she hasn't done anything with anybody. She's just trying to dress sexy.
Yeah, because she thinks that, like, Craig doesn't like her because of, like, her being, like, a little girl. So she's like, well, now I'm going to be sexy. That's going to be my new look.
And that part kind of starts with, what's his name? Sully. This random, like, soccer player, Sully, who is a complete douchebag and, like, not really into her at all. He just wants to be with her because she dresses the way she dresses. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know that she's really doing this to look older or seem more mature for Craig, because she sees Craig, who's with Ashley at this point, and, you know, he's being super romantic, writing songs for her, sending her, like, 12 roses on Valentine's Day.
And Manny's hormones are, like, after Craig.
Yeah.
Like, she literally wants this boy so bad.
And she does, and, like, that is such, looking back at it, that's so hard to, like, watch now.
Honestly, though, like, because Craig ain't shit, like, at this point.
As a cranny fan, like, I was all about some Craig and Manny, and
That was the ship.
But, like, looking back on it, and, like, even now, like, I still have a little place in it in my heart for them. It's just, you grow and you learn better, and you realize, like, that was not okay. Like, and the fact that, like, that completely, like, you know, that started the downgrade of her reputation.
Yeah, it really did, though. Like, hold on. My dog is crying because he does not have a blanket to put upon him.
Oh, no. How dare you?
I know I'm a terrible mother. Hold on. Calm down, Percy.
Percival.
He is a very spoiled baby.
And so, you know, she breaks up with Sully because he's not...
He's the worst.
He's the worst. He's not worth a damn. And, you know, she's still, like, she eventually still goes with Craig, And there's that whole situation.
Listen, this is like before I started my rewatch of Degrassi during quarantine. I feel like this plot between Craig and Manny and Ashley, like the holiday episode, was like the main thing I remembered from Degrassi. Yes.
That is like, I didn't feel like that was like the first episode that I was really, really paying attention to at the time.
Yeah, I feel like eventually
they, you know, they were still doing like the reruns, and so they'll eventually go back to the beginning and you'll catch back up. But like,
no, and every episode ever marathon.
Yes, those. And, you know, they hook up one night when Craig and Ashley have an argument, mm-hmm. and then that's when they both lose their virginities, and he gets back with Ashley like the very next day, and so of course, like, you know, she's hurt, Manny's hurt by that and still wants to be with Craig, and so eventually she's still pursuing Craig, and you know, they eventually start hooking back up again. And so here's the crux with this issue. Here's the thing. So on Twitter, there's this account called Degrassi No Context. And so they'll go over basically every single episode of every single season. And they'll show, like, basically memes or pictures of each episode. Like, several scenes from every episode. And, you know, there was from, like, a season or two after the Craig, Manny, Ashley debacle where JT is talking to her, and I can't remember what he said, but she was like they never remember that he's the one that cheated on his girlfriend. They never talk about that. And so, I mean, like, that's true. Like, yes, she pursued someone that clearly had a relationship.
Yes.
But the person that had a relationship continued to be with her. And not only just that, strung her along.
Oh, yeah, Craig 100% strung her along because he liked having attention from two different women.
Yeah, so he liked the attention from both girls, and I think both girls gave him different things. So, like, Ashley connected to him on an artistic level.
Yeah, they both love music. And yes, like,
and I guess with Manny, though, I'm not sure exactly what they had in common other than...
I think she made him feel good.
Yeah. I like, think that's what it is.
This hot girl really likes me. Like, I mean, I feel like that happens to a lot of high schoolers in general. Yeah. Like, they don't necessarily have anything in common or, like, really contribute to each other's relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, but they do like the attention. Because like that's such a time when, like, you, like, really, like, your, like, hormones are all over the place. And, like, you really are like, well, why can't I get a boyfriend? Why can't I get a girlfriend? Like, I want that attention. So, like, when that comes like, in, this, it's so satisfying.
And this girl has been consistently been after him for at least two seasons now.
Yeah.
For a while. And so, like,
I think like, Manny they is want to be fun. Her. She's cute. Like, Cassie Steele is adorable.
Love Cassie Steele.
Like, dude, she did, like, a TikTok where, like, she, like, recreated the look, the whale tail look, and she literally said on there that she had to, like, buy a blue thong and then rhinestone it herself. And I was like, yeah, because I said that. Was like,
challenge. Oh, my God, on TikTok. That was so great.
That was her buzzer.
She wins. She wins the internet for today. Thank you.
Honestly, so I was like, I can't. This is great.
Like, and so, you know, they continue to hide their relationship, and it's very clear, like, Manny wants to be with Craig out in the open. Like,
she wants him, straight up asks him.
Right, like, that was ultimately, like, she wants him to pick her, mm-hmm. and whatever reason, you know, he can't break it off with Manny, and then he can't break it off with Ashley, and then it ends up being, like, they both dump him.
Yeah, like, it's because, like, Ashley figures it out. Because, like, of the gifts, right?
Right, a bracelet.
Yeah, like, he gave her, like, an ice skating bracelet, which I love how we see Manny ice skating for, like, literally two episodes.
Right.
But we also see her in gymnastics for only, like, the Accidents Will Happen episode.
Right.
They have disappearing sports.
I mean, you know, she was also, like, on the hockey team for, like, 2 seconds, too, so.
Oh, yeah, when Liberty, like, became, like, a dictator over their field hockey team.
Right. I feel like this just... You know, she's a very active person. Like, she's very cute and bubbly, and she's very active, and
she's a cheerleader, and like that gives Craig something different than what Ashley was giving him.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what it was more than anything. Now that I'm thinking about it. Like,
So now that, you know, things are done with Ashley briefly, things are done with Manny briefly, and then briefly, yes. Because regardless of that whole situation, that doesn't stop any of the three. It doesn't stop Ashley getting back with Craig or Manny getting back with Craig at some point later on in the series. So, you know, we are returning back because that was the Christmas episode, the holiday episode.
And I love those episodes.
That was a good one. Those were good ones. We come back and we find out that there's a flu going around the school, but Manny thinks she's got the flu. Nope, she's preggo with Craig's baby. And the two mystery episodes that did not air.
Did not air in the United States.
Like the ones, and they, you know, I really wish they would have done it because there are a lot of things that happen after that where they don't necessarily make direct references to it, but like it would have a lot of context. It would have added a lot of context.
Absolutely, because this whole situation really colors Manny's character.
It does.
For the rest of her time.
Right, because it's not just like she's a, you know, not really a homewrecker, but like, you know, a boyfriend stealer, but like she's a boyfriend stealer that got pregnant.
Yeah.
And then didn't keep the baby. Like, there's, like, that.
That's a lot going on there. Like,
and what, she's only 14, 15 by that point?
Yeah, I think she's 14 when she gets pregnant.
Right.
My ass was not having sex at 14.
But that's crazy to think about, though. Like, so she's, like, having to deal with that.
She's a baby.
All while, like, 14 and 15. And, but from there, that starts to really color her experience with majority of the men that she's had in a relationship with and while at Degrassi. Mm-hmm. So whether someone is, like, you know, insecure, like JT was about the size of his penis.
Listen, Craig has a canonically huge dick.
We've been told.
I feel like that's, and it's like, been assumed. JT has a stack of dimes.
That's what we've been told too.
Why do we know these things about these teenage boys' dicks?
You're right. So like there's the insecurities of JT. Spinner's insecure about his relationship with Manny because Spinner. I think at the time when they first started kind of like hanging out, like Craig felt some type of way about Spinner and Manny being together.
Yeah, he did. They got in a fight over Manny, actually. Yeah. And it was when Spinner was still with Paige.
Right.
And they got in a fight, like, at her job. Like, they physically fought over Manny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that couple never made any sense to me. Drop it after the shooting, she's just like, nah.
No. Well, that too, like, that was completely done. And just other things, just, but, like, her relationship with some of the other girls in Degrassi are completely colored by that.
Listen, Emma says some really awful things to Manny.
She really does. So, funny thing, though, like, before we started recording this episode, like, I was watching, what was it, the episode 2 and 3 of season 5. So, season 5 is when we are introduced to Peter
Stone. Miss Hot's Locus, though.
Yes. So we're introduced to Peter and the infamous I'm going to be famous while taking off my top video that spread around the school happens. And so, like, it's more stuff that's being compounded on her that completely ruins her reputation. So now she's a boyfriend stealer who got pregnant. And now she's, you know, she dresses skanky, whatever.
And then
girls gone wild. And, but like, she gets it from all ends too. Like, she gets it with the guys that she might be interested in, or they think they want to be interested in her because of what they think she'll do with them.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting it from her friends, girls and guys.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, she's even gotten some slut shaming from her parents, her dad, because she wanted to be an actress.
Oh my gosh. Like, Manny's dad, like, I do not like that man.
And actually, I think that's out of that same season, too. So, like, by that time, they did the was a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Listen, those episodes are absolutely bonkers to me.
They are.
Jay and Silent Bob go Canadian, eh?
Right. So by that time, she's got the taste of the acting bug, and so that's what she wants to do. But like, her dad calls her a slut for wanting to be an actress, and then she gets
she wants to get drunk and take advantage of
that too.
Very strange, because that like agent like spoke to her in such a way that I'm like, are there agents out there who speak to children like this? Right. They need to be stopped.
Like, she's, by the point, like, what, she's 16?
Skinny and, like, beautiful.
Right.
And, like, she's like, you gotta dump the lumps. And then make some very, like, pointedly racist comments about rice and beans.
Right. You know, we won't talk about the haircut of that season, but, you know.
It was a bad time for Manny's hair.
That was I could not get over that haircut. Like, I kept, like, every time while I was watching it, I kept seeing the haircut. I'm like, oh my God, this haircut. This haircut.
It's such, like, a mom haircut.
It only really worked when she didn't have, like, the curls, like, cut up separately. Yeah, she pulled it back and, like, cut the behind her ears. That was the only time I could tolerate it. But, she was kicked off the Spirit Squad for that video, regardless of the fact that it's child pornography.
Yeah, no, straight up, like, doesn't, like, Peter gets, like, detention for this?
Yeah,
like, and I'm like, bro, I don't feel like this is a detention-worthy, like, response, but Peter, like, skates by a lot on this show, and I think partially it's because his mom is the principal.
Right.
Like,
I feel like if
Peter is, like, a chaos demon, like, I hate that man.
Buffy Rimmon, thank you. But, like, if Manny's parents were more supportive and she didn't have to be so secretive about the things she was doing, mm-hmm. I feel like with the right direction, they probably would have pressed charges. Because, honestly...
Right. Like, well, this was, like, after... Wasn't she already kicked out of the house for the plastic surgery thing and she was staying with Emma?
Yeah, it's all around that same...
Yeah, it's, episode. Like... Mm-hmm. And then Emma, like, when she finds out about it, is terrible to Manny. Like, and it's, like... Peter is the one taking advantage of Manny.
Right. Like, you like this guy that, like, you truly like this guy that took a video of your best friend while she's clearly drunk.
Blackmailed her, like, with it.
Right. And exposing herself and, like, shares it with the entire school. You know, he didn't have the nerve to say, I only shared it with a couple of friends. Dude, you emailed it to every single person. Everybody has seen it.
I will has seen it forever and always. Crack up though at the clip of Jimmy and Craig when out, and Jimmy goes, "Manny Santos, my, how you've grown!"
Oh my God.
Craig is like pretending to look away, and I'm like, "Craig, you've already seen it, bro.
You've already seen it, dude."
That is like one of, you know, Jimmy's funniest lines. Jimmy is so funny in general. Like, I feel like he has some great little one-liners in there that people don't appreciate.
But yes.
Like, Manny Santos, my, how you've grown.
My God.
Like, what? What teenager says that?
Right. I think that is, like, that's pretty much the bulk of, like, a lot of the things that really, like, shade mm-hmm. her time there, because a lot of it that comes up later is just, like, with, like, what, Darcy?
Listen, I could talk, like, about Darcy for a minute.
Like, that, like, and Darcy was one of the worst ones about it. Like, Darcy was my boyfriend.
He wasn't your boyfriend at the time.
Like, you weren't even here. What are you talking about? Like, you weren't even at the school. At the time.
He was not your boyfriend at the time, and that was his choice. Like, right. I also love that Manny has spinner's virginity. I think that's hilarious. Especially because, like, Spinner and Paige were such a thing, and, like, the rivalry between Manny and Paige was, like, so intense. But Paige, like, yeah, when they go to the trial, like, she literally, for her assault with Dean, like, says that that's the only sexual experience she's had. Mm. So, and they break up pretty quickly after that, which makes me sad. But, like, I actually really like Spinner and Paige together. I know that's not popular in the fandom.
It's whatever at this point. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
They make sense together. They do that like honeybee thing.
Right. Honeybee. Right. But I think that I think Paige was a lot better with other people. But like this,
we will talk about Palix one day.
Yes, yes,
the best.
But so like my favorite line from Manny is, "You're just jealous," and I like feel like everybody was really jealous of her.
I mean, to be honest, I would have been jealous of her if I went to school with her.
But my biggest thing was that Manny's past would always be brought up in a way like that was just like she's clearly trying to help someone. She's trying to help Darcy. Mm-hmm. She's trying to help mm-hmm. Emma. She's trying to help whoever. And they like to throw back her sexual experience into her face.
Yeah, they live to throw it in her face.
They do, and they don't deserve her as a friend because again, regardless of those comments, she's still there to help you and support you. And you know, the world did not deserve Manny Santos.
Specifically, Darcy and Emma did not deserve Manny Santos.
And you know, like actually, Emma did slightly better than I thought. I remember she doing with the Peter situation the first go round mm-hmm. with the video. Like after she realized that her friend was really in need. Like not only is this video out, like her dad just kicked her out, and like her reputation's messed up, and you know, that's when she does get to live with the Simpsons, and you can see her being a good friend. I don't appreciate Emma like eventually dating Peter secretly.
Why would you do that? Like, right. And like, it's both of Manny's like sort of best friends, like Emma and then Darcy, mm-hmm. both date Peter.
It's like, she has to put a lot of things slide for her to be okay with those relationships, mm-hmm. to be quite honest with you.
Like, I know the writers like wanted us to like forgive Peter because he was like good to Emma during her eating disorder, but like,
so is Manny, whatever.
I was like, so is Manny. Manny was like literally the one who like started like calling her out and like,
right.
Like, it was, yeah, no, I don't forgive Peter. I don't forgive Peter at all, ever.
I mean, you know, I'm glad he grew conscious at some point, but, like, anytime after that, it's like, why is Peter?
Why is Peter?
Why? White. So, like, that's basically the, no, here, I gotta mention this one thing. So, also, on the Grassy Knoll Context Twitter account, they had posted, like, 4 pictures of a scene from when Emma was going through her I'm a girl that goes to the ravine.
I'm cool. I'm, like, era. Sexually active.
Right. And, you know, she's giving oral sex to Jay and gets a social disease. And
a social disease? You gave me a social disease!
And, like, man is just like, you are giving yourself to a bottom feeder, who she eventually marries.
No, right. Like, listen, Manny and Jay is one of my favorite storylines.
Look, it took a lot of redeeming for me to accept Jay. Okay? A lot of redeeming. But, like, that was also one of those moments where, like, Emma completely slut-shames her while Emma's trying to be like, hey, this isn't healthy. You shouldn't be doing that. This is not you. Should probably ease up, and like you're doing with someone that's complete at this point in time is the freaking jerk.
Oh yeah, and he was terrible.
He was a terrible person, and I think this is before we even found out. Well, we knew before everyone else found out his involvement.
With the painted school shooting thing.
Yeah, so like you are getting yourself involved with a complete creep, and ugh.
And then, like, just Manny, like, throws it back in her face and is like, or Emma throws it back in her face and is like, well, at least I'm not getting pregnant or something like that. You know, like,
okay, yeah, but, like, at least I'm not, like, hiding the fact that I have gonorrhea and, like, trying to kiss somebody else in a school play.
Literally, like,
gonorrhea of the throat. Look, at least I'm upfront about my sexual experiences. Thank you.
Right, like, well, Manny's had to deal with it from, like, Ashley, like, straight outed her as pregnant. Like, she was right. Like, pay attention, everyone. These two dummies are pregnant.
That right there. And I get that she was hurt.
I was gonna say, that came from a place of hurt, but,
that,
like,
was a serious place of hurt. But, my God.
Have to make an announcement?
You have to make an announcement in the cafeteria that Manny was pregnant, my God.
Like, just like,
because, like, that's already worse. Like, okay, she's probably getting some backlash. She's like, because I know that, like, Manny would give her Ashley would give Manny, like, the coldest of shoulders pretty much the majority of time that she's still on the grassy. Ellie is, like, the rudest to her for the majority of the time.
Listen, Ellie.
Sweetheart. right.
Like, bless your heart, Ellie, but,
like, your ire is not at the right person here.
It's really not. Like, it should definitely be at Craig, who she later is, like, in love with.
I never understood that either. Like, I get it. They were best friends, and they were cute and whatever, hanging out all summer. But, like, that was something that I never quite understood, too. Like, you were upset with this one girl who you really had no relationship with at all, and, like,
yeah, she was just trying to be like Ashley's, like, ride or die. You know what I mean?
That's like, fine and dandy, but then, like, how are you you're gonna go have a crush on the same person that was the one that actually cheated on Ashley?
I will never forgive the writers for, like, setting us up for Jimmy and Ellie, and, like, never having that happen.
Right?
Because I was like, that would have been cute.
but I feel like that also, like, that whole situation is, that completely covers how Ellie interacts with Manny the majority of the time too, because she's very quick to.
Oh, she's horrible to her. She's, like, very, like, during the college years. Like,
yeah, she's not nice to Manny at all. And, you know, granted, like, her relationship with Craig is suspect, so you already know, like, there's something there. But, like, he's with Manny. Like, if you don't want to be with Manny, then don't be with Manny. Like, he, at some point, like, I don't remember, like, he calls her, like, one of his biggest mistakes. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
She's already dealing with a lot. And, like,
once again, I will reiterate, Craig ain't shit compared to Manny.
And eventually writes a song about her called Thong Girl, Wrong Girl.
Like,
what a dick.
What?
I love Craig Manny, but you're a dick.
I love him as a character.
Yeah.
Like, would I be friends with Craig? Absolutely not.
Like, you know, I'd probably be one of those damn girls that have a crush on him.
I would be doing too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this?
But I guess the thing is, like, with Ellie and Manny, Ellie has this perception of Manny being, like, ditzy,
the school slut.
And has no problem with, like, seeing anything bad with Manny. So, like, when you have Craig with his, with a cocaine addiction.
Yeah.
She's very quick to be, like, to believe that it's totally Manny's. She's the promiscuous one here. She's the one that's the vagrant. She totally had cocaine. No.
Yeah, right? And, like, I was just thinking about that scene where they're, like, having the dinner party, but they're, like, all freshmen in college. So I'm like, why are these people trying to have a grown-up dinner party? This doesn't make any sense.
We all try to be grown-up. Like, our freshman year in college. I promise you we did.
I did cook quite a lot. I do cook quite a lot. That's, like, half my personality. Like, they're having this dinner party, and, like, Ellie is, like, jumping down her throat. Like, she's just ready to, like, be like, oh, well, like, obviously you're not smart enough to have this deep conversation with us. Like, and I was like, Manny is, like, only 1 year younger than you.
Right,
and, like, we have never been, like, given any information about, like, her being good or bad at school. But, like, given that it's not, like, a plot point, we can assume that she's probably, like, at least a B student.
Right.
Like,
she graduated.
She graduated and she did not, like, have to, like, work that hard. There's, like, no plot about her almost failing. And, like, let's be real, like, half these people on Degrassi fail, like, all the time.
Right.
And, like, these people are getting held back for their second senior year a lot.
I mean, hello, Spinner.
At least Spinner had, like, a reason, though, because, like, he was expelled. Like, some of them, it's like, I mean, I guess Fiona had to leave because she had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
Drew dropped out.
There's just, I mean, like, Manny got out there on time.
She did 4 years.
Yes, thank you. And there's nothing wrong with not do more than 4 years. I'm just saying there was nothing to indicate for us to believe that,
like, that Manny was less than intelligent.
Right. She had a naivety to her. She wasn't necessarily ditzy. Yeah. She was actually like, yeah.
And she was very emotionally smart by the end of her
right.
time.
And she was actually fairly mature towards the end, too.
Yeah. I love Manny.
Like, yeah.
We know this is Manny. Manny Santos stan account.
Thank you. Exactly. But overall, the main thing is, Manny Santos had to deal with a lot of slut shaming throughout her time at Degrassi Community School.
Oh, yeah. So much.
Most of it stemming from the relationship with Craig. And, you know, some mishaps here and there. But the way that, like, looking back at it, like, I didn't realize how much of that really could have affected her mm-hmm. and, like, her need to, like, want certain attention. You know, I think it was, like, during the issue with Peter, he called her an attention whore looking for, like, male acceptance. And she's like, no, that's not me. And I'm like,
Like, I mean, because all of the women in her life were constantly slut-shaming her. At least, right. like, when men wanted to talk to her, they typically wanted to, like, hook up with her. Or, like, right. they were, like, seeing it as, like, a positive thing in a weird way.
Right. But, like, and, like, between, like, Emma just completely just has, she, Emma had, like, a really weird one-sided view of feminism.
Yes.
And
I feel like that was definitely, like, more of the accepted thought at the time too, especially right. with like young people, like
right.
oh, I don't want to be like stereotypically girly,
right? And so, like, in turn, she was very judgmental. Paige just didn't like to be outshined by Manny because there.
I don't think that Paige ever really slut shames her. I think Paige just like hates Manny because she's threatened by Manny. That's the problem.
Yeah, so like she doesn't want to be outshined by Manny. Now, yeah. granted, the whole thing with Spinner, yeah, I could probably see a little bit of that. Ashley, all the shit with Craig, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, Ashley is also then, like right, a villain,
right? And then Ellie, mainly all that shit with Craig, and. Yep. So it's like that's just kind of like her time in high school. Darcy is also like the other extreme of judgmental.
Yeah, like I mean, like literally, like Darcy, like is one of the most judgmental characters on the show. Like,
right?
She literally like makes Spinner go through a re-virginization ceremony. Don't think I forgot.
Right.
Don't think I forgot about the
re-virginizing. The North remembers, okay?
The thing is that, like, that seems so crazy on Degrassi, but I know people who did that in high school. Like, I'm like, yeah, I mean, being from the rural South, we'll do that. Like, mm-hmm. evangelical, like, huge belt.
And I'm trying to remember this because, like we mentioned in the first episode, like we were both around the same age mm-hmm. as Manny's character and the actress, and like I didn't necessarily felt like she was slutty. I always felt like, you know, some poor choices were made yeah. in order to feel wanted, yeah. and like there was some kind of freedom in being able to do some of those things, because what we've seen of her home life, it's very strict and traditional.
Yes.
And so, of course, you know, parents are probably wanting her to say that cutesy self, but she's getting older, and it's hard for her to express that.
Well, we're about to get into it again with this, with Allie and Bianca and them.
Right. Yes. So, like, she's trying to find ways to express herself, and it backfires quite a few times throughout her high school career. Mm-hmm. And like one of the things that I read in one of the articles, because they just had like a reunion.
No, yeah, the reunion.
yeah, not too long ago, earlier this year. And it was like mentioned how Cassie still was like one of the things with the Craig and Ashley Manny storyline was that like she got a lot of hate. The actress herself got a lot of hate for the Craig Ashley Manny triangle.
Huh.
You know, basically calling her a homewrecker and like slut shaming the actress for something that like she didn't actually do. This is,
I was gonna say this was just a show, y'all.
Y'all,
that's TV.
Yes. like at that point, like y'all need to go step outside and touch some grass. Okay,
please, I beg of you, go outside.
Please get some sunlight.
Look at a cloud,
please, because that was not necessary. And even then, like if I maybe did, I don't know, but I wouldn't want to do that as a young tween teenager either, like completely like slut shame somebody like that.
I don't remember feeling negatively about Manny as a character.
No, never.
When I was watching it as a person her own age, and like
I related to Manny a lot. Yes, like, I felt bad for a lot. Like
I was like, oh no, this is no Manny. Don't do that, baby.
there's some messy, cringy moments for Manny, but like I've never hated. She did. And she was a great person. She was a great friend. And I hated that, like, this relationship, this big triangle relationship pretty much affects her trajectory.
Yeah, but, like, at least we get to see her thrive after she graduates. Right. And let's be real, like, Jay, after his, like, personality glow up, right. is great
thank
for
God,
her.
Thank God for that.
And, like, there are a lot of people who think that, like, Jay's, like, redemption arc is like not believable, but I actually sort of love it because he got expelled and he didn't do like Spinner and go back to school, like beg to go back to school. He just got a job and just started working, mm-hmm. and like he grew up, like because he had to pay bills and be an adult. Right. I was like, it makes sense to me that he would become a better person, like
because he did. Have to deal with the consequences of his actions. He just did it differently than Spinner. And I think there was less of an opportunity to sympathize with Jay. Like they eventually did with Spinner. You know, you see Spinner try to like reconnect with his friends and not really working. And then, you know, the bout of cancer and all that stuff. And it's just, and not be able to graduate with his friends. But like with Jay, like, okay, you know what? I did something awful and it caused some people to be hurt. And now I'm going to have to man up and grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Like I actually have to grow up. But I really like where we leave Manny. Like, she is like pursuing her dreams. She has an incredibly hot boyfriend. I'm sorry. Mike Lovell is very handsome.
He is very handsome.
Like, who has, like, gone through some stuff and, like, doesn't ever, like, shame her for, like, the things that she's, like, been through. Like, that's,
right.
He's very supportive and, like, I really like them as a couple and I like where we leave them off.
Yes. Because and I appreciate cute. That they are cute and I appreciate that he's not insecure about any of her past relationships. I know, like, when we see, I think it was probably when she was in college. So by that time, like, they started, like, dating, you know, Craig.
I love a
fake
dating trope.
I know. That was so cute.
I love it. I love a fake dating trope.
I think she was like a college party and like Craig and maybe Ashley was playing.
It's when she like went to Smithdale to do her audition and like he got mad at her because they were fake dating and like gave her the DVD that he made of them making out instead of her actual, like, acting reel, which was really crappy of him. But he realized it was really crappy, and he actually, like, goes and, like, basically seduces that professor. That scene is insane, and I love it. Like, anytime they leave Toronto, you know it's going to be, like, absolutely bonkers.
It is. Like, but I like the fact that she had a self-realization that, like, her feelings for Craig were puppy love, and, like, enough. In hindsight, yes, it was, because, like, this is the first person that, like, kind of showed any interest in her, and it completely fizzled out after one date, and so, like, she's still having these feelings for someone that aren't really, like, sharing the same feelings for her, and, like, she's having to deal with this for, like, years. She's dealing with this for years, and time to find out, like, you know, there are better things out there.
Yeah, better, more mature people.
Right.
Like, good for her.
Yes. All right, so we're going to go on to our next girl.
We want to shift. Like,
yes,
we're going to, like, talk about what I like to call the ballad of
All right, so we're going to go on to our next girl.
We want to shift.
Yes,
we got to shift. And we're going to, like, talk about what I like to call the ballad of Allie, Drew, and Bianca.
Oh, my God.
Because this is messy, and I kind of want to, like, go through, like, I have, like, my notes pulled up right now because I watched it about a week ago, and I took notes. This is during season 10, and it's around the same time as, well, it is the Vegas night episode when, like, the crackdown is going to happen, like, Eli and Claire and, like, the Ipecac and, like, all of that stuff is, like, bonkers. So, like, this plot can kind of, like, get lost in, like, how, like, actually, like, sociopathic Eli was at the time. Like,
I'm sorry to our listeners. Like, I hope this doesn't make y'all, like, leave us, but I am not an Eclair fan. I did not see...
I like Claire and Drew.
Nope.
Ooh. I know.
These are fighting words,
like,
y'all.
I know, they really are. Like, I like Eclair. I love Eli after his diagnosis when he's, like, a super good boyfriend and, like, he's, like, taking care of himself. Like, Eli is a great character. But, like, in his introduction, he is crazy. And I, like, get very stressed by Eli.
Right.
Like, those early, I could not be around this person. He's too messy.
And I think that's probably when I started to fall off, like, keeping up with it regularly.
Because it was, like, almost, like, too crazy at the time.
It was. Like, he was very stressful to watch.
Like, he's just doing too much right now.
He was really stressful to watch.
All right, so it's, Vegas night is coming up, and Drew and Allie are, like, sitting in the hallway, and it's, like, before school, and Allie's helping him study. But then he's like, well, let me get some smooching in. Like, they start to, like, make out a little bit because they're dating. And I actually think they were kind of cute. Like, Allie really messed up a little bit by, like, treating him like he was stupid. Mm-hmm. But, like, Allie just is so much smarter than everyone else. And, like, nobody deserved Allie. Let's be real. Well, because, like, Allie and Claire are kind of, like, the redo of Manny and Emma. Mm-hmm. So, like... this is where we get into it. And, like, basically, Audra is great later on, but she is so awful in, like, the first season where Drew shows up, like, just terrible. And, like, I wrote down some of the things she said. Like she catches them making out in the hallway and makes, like, some really snide comments about Allie. And she's like, I'm assuming this is why you're failing math. And I'm like, literally, this girl is helping him study.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. You're like, you're sending a girlfriend from the gifted program. What are you doing?
Yeah, like, I honestly do not understand where Audra got off on this. Right. It's like, girl, you literally are not asking about this girl at all. You know nothing about her. And you just assumed that she's terrible and she's going to drag your son down with him.
No, like, it might help him raise his grade up. I don't know.
Honestly, right? But, like, right after that, like, Allie, like, completely, like, turns the corner and straight up, like, just looks at Bianca, who, like, I think we've seen, like, twice in the entire series at this point. Like, and she goes, now your mom thinks I'm some skank like Bianca who makes out with a different guy every week. And I was like, do we know that? Like, I was like, I think we've only seen her, like, when she was hanging out with Fitz and Casey, like, kind of, like, has a spiral about his mom and, like, they get drunk in the car. I think that's, like, the only time we've seen Bianca, like, at that point. So I'm
and the thing with Bianca is, you know, she's like a more central reincarnation of Alex. Like, clearly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wrong side of the tracks. May have some experience that some of the other students her age may not have had. And she's, you know, okay with it. Or in a sense. as much as she can be, honestly.
Honestly, like, I think Bianca, like, really owns who she is at this point.
Right.
But we might have seen her in My Body as a Cage at this point. I can't remember if that episode happened before this. I think it did because that started... Oh, yeah, it definitely did because Bianca outed Adam as trans, and that started the bullying of Adam, and that's why Eli started going after Fitz and them, like, because they were bullying Adam.
Right.
Which, oh my god, messy.
Right.
I was like, my note literally says, like, Bianca did nothing but stand near them, and Allie went after her ass.
Right, and then, like, isn't that the same, like, within like the same episode or two, like next thing you know, she's
got, oh yeah,
got him in the boiler closet.
It's literally the same, like part one and part two. Right. So like Allie like leaves. Oh, I literally wrote Allie's outfit is something Janine would have worn in high school. It's got a huge pink belt and matching pink hoop earrings.
Shout out to Janine.
Yeah, shout out to Janine. Like, I multiple times, like when I'm watching this with Alex, like will be like, Claire and Allie's outfits are the things that me and Janine wore in high school. Like they are me and Janine. I'm Claire, clearly. Yeah, but okay, so like Allie goes away and like Casey, this is the funniest part, it was like we see like Casey trying to help Drew study, and I was like, I guess they're friends because they're both on the football team. Mm-hmm. And like Drew is just like ogling Bianca, like you know, like, right. the wolf with the big eyes. Like,
right.
He's straight up staring her down.
Right.
And like Casey is like trying to like give him crap about being flirty with another girl, and I'm like, Casey, like, you have room to talk.
Thank you.
Marisol?
Thank you.
Can we talk about Marisol?
Look, Marisol,
Jenna.
Jenna.
Like, look. The fact that he, like, straight up, like, basically started dating Jenna while he was still dating Claire. Like, come on, Casey.
Thank you.
And then basically, like, Bianca, like, comes up and, like, wants him to, like, help zip her hoodie up, and, like, it's very strange. And I said, I feel like Bianca is a woman being written by a man. Like, I need to look up who wrote this episode because, like,
I, you know, and so my thought process would be like, maybe she's doing this purely for the fact that Allie decided to
basically shame her for no standing there whatsoever.
Okay, it's really like, okay, cool. I'll be that. And I'll take your man while I'm at it. So
right, like,
and literally, what happened?
Bianca like rolls up to Drew, and like she's starting to send him nudes, which I also find to be very strange because this happens later in the series too with Zig, and he's just getting nudes from random girls, and I'm like, is that something that like girls did? Because
I can't.
Maybe at this point in time, I don't know. But
I think so, probably.
But yeah, no, not me.
There was that, just, you know, I think that's where you start seeing it happen. And so it's kind of like a hush hush, like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, she's sending me.
Right.
Like,
so wait, was Drew before Johnny DeMarco or
Drew after? Is after Johnny DeMarco? So Allie's not a virgin at this point,
and Allie has no room to slut shame anybody.
Listen, I'm gonna get to the fact that Allie has no room, like, because they get in that fight later. All right, yeah. So yeah, Bianca rolls up to Drew and is just like, at one point she's just like, yeah, meet me in the boiler room, there's no strings attached. Like, why would the biggest catch at school settle for just one girl? Like. And I'm like, what?
Like, no.
Why? Especially because they imply that it's just a blowjob. I'm like, Bianca, what are you getting out of this? Other than just, like, really, like, stick it to Allie for being
like, honestly, that might be the case, to be honest with you. For me, at least in that instance, because I know, like, they eventually, you know, they become very serious.
They're honestly like a really cute couple later.
I think in this moment though, like, this is a okay, you call me a slut, I'm gonna be a slut, and I'm gonna,
yeah, she's at her low point, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we get to like part two after the, you know, supposed blowjob, I guess, and Drew tells Allie that it was just a kiss. Mm-hmm. And then Bianca overhears this, and I wrote down the quote because I thought it was wild. She said, your boyfriend and I got intimate in the boiler room, but all my clothes stayed on. And I was like,
well,
I was like, Bianca is not the one to mess with. Like,
exactly. So that lets me know right there, like, that was purely to mess up Drew and Allie's relationship, because I think it pretty much goes,
like, she was just like, nah, I'm gonna destroy this.
Right.
So Allie gets really upset about this, and like, well, for obvious reasons.
Right.
And she gets approached by Owen while she's crying. I cannot stand Owen. Like, he's the worst character. He's terrible. He is transphobic. He is homophobic, despite having a gay brother. Like, he is awful.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, and he, like, said something like, oh, guys would pay to be with you. I would pay $1 million to hook up with you, to Allie, who is, like, in 10th grade at this point. And, like, he goes, I don't have the cash, but I do have 50. I bet it would make your boyfriend super jealous. And I'm like, oh, my God, is he literally, like, like trying to pimp offer her to be a prostitute? Or something? Like, I'm just, like... Like,
this like, is not an exchange of goods and services, guys. No, like, this
is not okay. What are you doing? And then, like, Allie tells him something like, just make sure Drew hears about us hooking up. And, like, and then I think they, like,
cut back to,
like, the Vegas night where all this craziness is going on.
Right.
And, like, remember, this is all happening while Eli is trying to poison a person. Right. These episodes are wild. And, like, they say something like, you want to be a rock star? Well, now you have rock star problems to Drew. And then he says that, like, his problems are all that slut's fault. And he literally says slut. And he's talking about Bianca.
Excuse you, no one told you to put pull down your pants.
I was like, you once again, like, back to what we were talking about with Craig, like, it was your job not to cheat on your boy, on your girlfriend. Like, you are completely culpable here. Like,
the way that these guys were able just to kind of skate through,
like, and just, like, literally act like it was, like, not their fault. Right. So then we go back to the boiler room, and Owen is like, cool, a freebie. And I'm like, how many people have you paid to have sex with you, Owen? Like,
right.
Real question.
Right. No, that needs to be, like, investigated. Sir, you were technically still a child.
I know.
And you were paying folks for sex. And it sounds like it's regularly. Like, that sounds like
what have you done to get to this point, Owen?
Right.
Then they, like, Allie is obviously really uncomfortable, and she's, like, trying to, like, talk to him and be like, should we talk a little bit first before we, like, hook up? And he's like, no wonder your boyfriend cheated on you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when, like, Drew runs in and, like, he's literally says, sorry, dude, get in line. And then Drew says, leave her alone. And Owen says, so not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God. And, like, Drew literally, like, tells her that, like, this is not you. And I'm like, actually, like, she can do whatever she wants.
Right.
Like, but, like, of course he has her in his head as, like, being pure and sweet. And, like, that's his, like, complete, like, image of Allie. Is, like, that Bianca is the slut and Allie is the good one. So if Allie starts to act out sexually, it must be because, like, it's just out of character and it's upsetting. Like... Right. And he doesn't like it because, like, he's got this whole vision of her in his head. And, like, if she, like, demonstrates some kind of agency over her own body, I don't think she should have hooked up with Owen. Let me
put
that there. Like,
no, that was purely out of just, like, being upset.
She was hurt. That was a rash decision. That was from a place of hurt.
That was a rash decision. Absolutely.
So, something about that just didn't sit well with me. And it was, like, the thing that... I think it's just, like, that he had this perfect vision of Allie, and he is literally slut-shaming her now, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my God. But the worst part is when, after, like, everything is said and done, and the whole fake stab-out thing happens, like, Audra is at the school, Drew's mom is there, and she finds him in the boiler room, and says that immediately, with Allie, immediately, like, Allie's crying, Allie's upset, like, everything is going wrong for her. And Audra immediately says, what did she do to you?
Oh my God. And right, then that whole situation.
Later she says, I showed up before she could do anything to you. What's wrong with you, young lady? Trading favors like some common whore?
My God.
She says this to Allie.
I think one of the biggest things that upset me about that whole situation was that Drew never stood up for Allie.
Oh my God.
Like, never stood up for Allie.
He just sat there and, like...
He let his mother multiple times. He did that with Bianca
later, too.
Right.
like,
but he let his mother multiple times and did not correct her at any point. And I get it. They're teenagers. They're kids. But at some point, like... I don't know.
At some point, you have to realize that your son might be the one who's in the wrong.
Right. And, like, why not have said the first go around, like, no, mom, like, she's actually really smart.
Actually, I really hurt her.
Right. Like, I'm the one that hurt her, or like, or the fact that, like, you know, oh no, mom, she's the one that's actually helped me.
Yeah, she's actually helping me study.
Like, she's actually really smart. She's in the gifted program. You probably would want me to date someone like her.
Yeah, literally, like,
head straight.
Like, Allie would be like the ideal girlfriend for Audra to like, but like, Drew never opens his mouth to like say anything
exactly,
about
that's,
it.
And like, honestly, like, his mom and her parents would probably have a lot more in common than they realized.
I know. Like, it's honestly like, it's kind of wild to me that Drew is so like, I guess, intimidated by his mom. And we see him later, like, try to, like, you know, break free, like when he drops out of school and all of that. But like,
I think that's really what like turned me off from Drew for the majority of the time that he was on the series. I was like, that moment right there, like, you let your mom completely degrade someone
who didn't deserve it,
who didn't deserve it, and was actually a good person.
Mm-hmm.
When you messed up, and I don't know, like, that from there, because, you know, from there, I just think of it as a complete himbo.
Oh, and then, yeah. He has a transformation later, but, like, he really sucked at the beginning here.
I mean, yeah, we got some character growth, but, like, honestly, that right there, just, because I love Allie, too.
So then we get to, like, the next episodes, and I'm going to kind of, like, focus on Allie a little bit more than Bianca for just a minute, because... Mm-hmm. It's the episodes Don't Let Me Get Me, parts 1 and 2. I think they're really good episodes, honestly. And that's when we first see the uniforms appear, which right. took me way too long to figure out that, like, the uniforms, like, the shirts meant what grade you were in. I was like, what? I don't understand these shirt choices, like, the colors. Because I think it's, like, the Niners have, like, yellow, 10th grade is purple, like, 11th is... red, and the seniors will have blue shirts, something like that.
Yeah, let's totally break away from the actual, like, school color scheme. That makes sense.
And then it's like Allie's coming back to school. There's been a break, and like, she's broken up with Drew, which she, like, Drew is trying to get her back. He's like, I miss you, I cried all through break. Like, there's a point where Adam says something about, like, how he cried and made Adam walk by Allie's house, and I'm like, Drew, are you stalking her?
Oh, God.
Like, bro, this is weird.
Yeah.
And Allie says to Drew, you let Bianca treat your body like her own personal amusement park. And I said, like, girl, where do you get off? You were literally going to charge Owen to hook up with you. Like, it's like, oh, God. And then there's all these new rules, which I just want to point out, like, I don't think they're that crazy. Like, the uniforms are there. You have to have a visible photo ID, which I remember that being a thing, like,
that was a thing
in the post-Columbine era in America. No PDA. That was a rule.
That sounds common, too.
Classrooms without supervision with a teacher. That seems
that
pretty standard.
Yep.
Like, yep. And then you can get expelled for violence, carrying a weapon, sexual conduct at school, or transmitting sexual images. And I'm like, this doesn't seem...
I'm sorry, but as a graduate of Cobb County with the, what's it called? No excuses or zero-tolerance policy.
Zero-tolerance policy.
Growing up in the zero-tolerance policy age, yeah.
I had to just, like...
perfect.
This seems pretty standard in an American high school, I guess. Yeah. Maybe it's different in Canada, but, like, I was like...
I don't know, that didn't seem completely far-fetched for me. You know,
the only thing that seemed a little weird was, like, the uniforms. Like,
yeah,
that was
it.
Really it. So, Allie is like, I want to put my energy into something positive, and she wants to, like, help kids study for math. And she also decides that she's going to join the Science Olympics with Adam, Wes, and Connor. And I was like, this is the gang. Like, this is who you want to hang out with. I hate that they black hole Wesley. I loved Wesley so much. He's so pure. He's a cute baby angel.
Oh,
he's
that's
baby.
The one that had the crush on Anya, right?
Yes.
And the LARPing.
He tried to set a pogo record at one point. There was a pogo stick plot that was the best thing.
Man, some of those B-plots were wild.
I know. Oh, yeah. Like, she literally, like, Allie says, my draconian principle has outlawed anything fun. And I'm like, These just seem like normal school rules.
I mean, honestly, with the exception of the uniforms. So I think the thing is with Allie versus Bianca,
mm-hmm.
Allie has this sense of, you know, superiority.
Yeah, she's like, I'm the one who was being wronged.
Right. And, you know, even though she has done maybe not as much or maybe something similar,
She sent nudes to Johnny DeMarco, and she also slept with Johnny DeMarco.
Right.
Which does not sit right with me, because he was way too old to, like, have done that. I know she, like, pursued him pretty relentlessly, but, like, bro.
Right.
Like, and you cannot be sleeping with a 14-year-old.
You're 18. So, and I think the thing is that because Bianca is, like, the girl on the wrong side, from the wrong side of the tracks, and Allie is technically from a well-to-do family.
Yeah, they have a nice house.
Well-to-do family, and she's very smart and does well in school. And so, like, why would you want to trade, like, this person I'm supposed to be considered a good person for mm-hmm. Bianca, who's supposed to be the bad girl?
Oh, yeah. Like, and then, like, Adam, like I said, Adam was, like, talking up Drew being sad, and Allie was absolutely falling for it, and I wrote, I am mad.
Right, don't do it.
I said, listen to Claire talk sense, Allie. Like, Claire's like, no, he cheated on you, don't get back together with him.
Right.
And I'm like, sometimes Claire really was the voice of reason.
Right.
But they actually, like, get, both Allie and Bianca are sent to a self-esteem seminar. And
yeah,
it was only for girls, like, because she, like, goes up to Drew and she's like, oh, after this self-esteem seminar we have to go to because of the boiler room, like, he's like, I don't have to go to that. And it was just the girls, and she takes him back and puts him on probation, quote unquote, which means literally nothing. Like, I was like, this is not a punishment.
No.
And it's really sad though, because, like, she goes back to, like, the science squad, like the boys. And, like, Allie is really upset, and, like, I think it's Connor says something like, did you really do those things in the boiler room? And, like, her reputation is now getting, like, tarnished. And then, yeah, they go to the seminar, and the teacher is like, sometimes girls turn boys and sex into a competition, and rumors can take over girls' lives. I want you to rise above those rumors. And I think I like this seminar, but, like, I also don't like that it was only for the girls.
Right. I feel like it perpetuates the sexual activities solely on the
girl.
Crux of the girl. The girl is
in charge of keeping her purity.
Right. Like, the girls are tempting the boys, and it's up to the girls to keep their legs closed and remain pure and set the right path so these boys don't screw up. And if they can't do that, they have low self-esteem, and you don't want to be involved with those kind of girls. And so that,
it's just perpetuating that entirely.
So, like, there's some perpetual slut-shaming throughout Degrassi because of the boiler room.
Yeah. And then what happens is Allie and Bianca start, like, sparring verbally, like, going after each other, and Allie says, like, I'm not the one hooking up with random guys just to make myself feel valuable. And then they take, like, a bathroom break.
Which is crazy, because, like,
you literally were just about to hook up with Owen, who is disgusting.
Right, that, but, like, Allie is known for a good chunk of her time on Degrassi as being pretty boy crazy.
Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about her boy craziness.
Yeah, so let's pot calling the kettle.
Oh, this is a mess. Like I said, the ballad of Drew, Allie, and Bianca. And then they take a bathroom break, and Bianca leaves her phone, which, girl, like, what are you doing on the toilet other than looking at your phone? And she goes, Allie, like, takes it and forwards her nudes to the entire school. Once again, distribution of child pornography.
Right. And hello, ma'am, you know how that sucks. You know how that feels to have something private, like, shared with the entire school. Why would you do that to someone else? Right. Why would you sleep so late?
Because she, like, yeah, like, her nudes were, Johnny sent them out, like, the year before. So, like, I'm like, Allie, what are you doing? Like,
Did he send it, or did he just let his friends look?
No, he sent them to, I know he sent it to Bruce, because Snake was, like, collecting the phones, and, like, Snake accidentally saw the nudes, so that's how it ends up in her file, which we're gonna talk about in just a sec.
Yeah.
She gets dropped off at school, and she tells Claire that, like, sometimes people deserve a second chance, and Claire, always on point in these episodes, says, does that mean Bianca gets a second chance, too?
Hello?
And I'm like, yeah, Claire's the only one with a brain here right now.
Right, like, you're giving the one that cheated on you a second chance.
Yeah, right.
And the only reason why the other one did something to you is because you decided to slut shame her for no reason.
Oh, yeah, you're literally just, like, out here, like, wilding.
Just wilding. Just
what are
wilding.
You doing, Allie? Okay, so, like, then we get, like, there's a really great Monty Python reference with Connor and Wesley that I really enjoyed. They're talking, like, she's going to, like, her science gang, and she's, like, trying to focus on, like, doing positive things and do that, like... and Bianca rolls up and kicks the shit out of Allie. It is a wild fight that is only rivaled in my brain by the one that is Paige and Manny, when Manny literally calls Mr. Oleander Mr. Pedophile.
Well, yes.
And, like, that fight is iconic. But, like, this one with Allie and Bianca is, like, they do some crazy stuff. So she gets brought to the office, and her parents come in, and, like, literally, like, they're like, well, we're gonna press charges, and Snake is like, I don't think, and then her dad ends up, like, demanding to see her entire file, and it's got all of her disciplinary records, and it specifically, like, has one thing in it. I think it's a note that she forged so she could go to the clinic to get tested for HPV and get that vaccine.
Right.
Which these, I always forget it's Canada, because I'm like, oh yeah, they can go to the doctor. like without having to pay a bunch of money.
now that, like, you remind me though, like Allie has done,
the fact that she's, like, slut-shaming right now is wild, because she's done some stuff.
She's, like, and that's not to say, like, you know, you're just bad. But, like, look at the mirror at least, and, like, at least be understanding, because there are certain things that she did in as retaliation of to Bianca that, like, you would have stopped and thought, and, like, wait a minute, why would I do this to someone when it happened to me
when I've already been through this, and I knew how hurtful and, like, harmful it was to me
and, like, my reputation. It's like I think that's also part of it too. Like, the thing is, like, Allie's reputation has been fairly on lock as far as her parents are concerned, whereas Bianca is very out and open, and we don't even know if Bianca has family that even really cares.
Yeah, because, like, what she's doing. I feel like during this time, like, leading up to this, like, the problems with the Bandaris were almost all related to Sav, and, like, him wanting to date Anya and not, like. Like, so we, like, sort of see, like, Allie is, like, in the gifted program. She's, like, the golden child.
Right.
So when they, like, see her file, and it's so sad, like, Mr. Simpson does not want to give it to them.
No.
Like, he's, like, horrified. He's like, oh, no. And then her dad literally says, what is sexting?
Right.
And, like, she has to, like, explain it to her father in front of the principal.
Like, the amount of, like, hiding and sneaking you have to do for your parents to not see any ounce of,
like,
your
school clothes that she kept at school and changed into. Like,
right, like, to make sure your parents didn't see any of your disciplinary actions.
So stressful.
That's
And then they get home, and, like, Mrs. Bandari demands that Allie unlock her diary. Ooh. Like, where it's, like, and she's like, I'll tell you what's in it. Like, I had sex, and, like, this is blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, horrible. It is so sad. And, like, then she's, like, kind of talking with Sav, and she says, they think I'm dirty. And then Sav says, you're still the Allie they know and love. Maybe they just need a reminder, which is really sweet. I really love Sav and Allie's friendship. Like, their friendship Sav. And their little brother-sister. I love Sav so much.
Yeah.
And Holly J, at some point, I think Holly J is there when they're having this conversation, because this is, like, when they're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Sav and Holly J.
So they have some they didn't have boiler room action. They were in a classroom.
They were in a classroom doing striptease.
Yes.
What on earth? But Holly J says, like, it was Drew's job not to cheat on you. Like, literally, like, it's not Bianca's fault.
Right.
Like, and then she says something like, boys make me do stupid things. And Holly J says, nobody can make you do anything. You always have a choice.
True, but yes. I think both things can be true.
Listen, Holly J is literally, like, one of my favorite characters on this show. I love her so much. She definitely grew on me.
I think
crazy at the beginning. Yes. Like, I love her. She's wild.
I think what got me with that is just, you know, yes, Allie does do crazy things when it comes to boys, but I think it's the attention. That's this whole idea that she wants to be... She's still smart, and she still wants to be the apple of her parents' eye, but, like, she mm-hmm. wants this control and express herself how she wants to, and date boys, and all this other stuff. Oh, yeah,
she wants both things.
She wants all the things.
Yeah.
Golly, she made some choices.
She really did. There's a plot, and there's an episode called The Way We Get By, where Drew and Bianca actually get together. Like, so this is, like, after Allie finally dumps Sam, and Bianca is literally, like, I actually liked you. Like, that's why I did that. I wanted to be with you. So, and he's, like, feeling kind of adrift because, like, all of the bros don't really want to hang out with him because Jenna and Sadie are mad at him for cheating on Allie because Jenna and Allie are so close. So, like,
right.
He's like, well, what if I get a girlfriend? I can, like, you know, go out with them and, like, hang out with them when they do couple-y things. Like, so
the girls don't like Bianca because of the thing with Allie.
They don't want to hang out with Bianca. Right. Also, whatever happened to Sadie? Jeez, she did not deserve this. Literally, like, Drew does, like, mushrooms with Bianca. And eventually, like Drianca becomes, like, canon, and they're on their way to, like, committing manslaughter outside of a Kiki Palmer concert.
God. And we'll have to discuss that later.
Oh my gosh. But I wanted to finish off with the Allie plots going from Jesus, etc. into hide and seek, because this is stressful. So she gets, like, suspended. Like, she goes to, like, a private school. She literally tells her parents that, like, she thinks it's all, like, boys. Boys make me do everything. I'm boy crazy. La, la, la. What if I go to an all-girls school? Not taking
responsibility for your actions. Yes.
Exactly. And she goes to this all-girls school and kind of, like, becomes, like, friends with another, like, I think she is also Indian, but she's definitely also Muslim. And her mom, like, their moms know each other. So, like, Allie's like, okay, if I get in good with her, like, my mom will see that I'm getting in good with people that, like, she really likes. Mm-hmm. And, like, of course this girl is also crazy. Right. Like, she, like, comes over for dinner and, like, sneaks out of the Bandari's house to go, like, spend the night with her boyfriend. And then, like, they're, like, getting time out to, like, go pray, like, do their, like, daily prayers. And instead of doing that, I forget this girl's name, really, I do. She, like, lights up a cigarette, and she's just, like, and then she makes Allie hold it, and, like, literally, like, her mom rolls up at that exact moment where Allie is, like, holding a cigarette and not praying, which is so on the nose. So she gets suspended from her private school like, literally, like, drives, like she said, like, having to go to the library during the day for her suspension. And, like, she literally, like, calls Bianca the school skank at one point.
Have you not learned?
Just nothing. But what happens is Sav needs a drummer for his music school, like, audition. Like, because he's trying to, like, do his guitar with, like, this crappy little tinsy, like, little, like, program in the background that's, like, doing, like, it's, like, bad.
Right.
And, like, he decides to hold auditions. But I have a question about this, because we know that Spinner still lives in town.
Right.
Like, this, I know this is just Degrassi writers having to put something in, like, here, but I'm, like, okay, they all still hang out at the Dot. We know Spinner is still the manager of the Dot. Why? We also know that Sav was in a band with Spinner. They were in the Stoods together. Like, why would he just not ask Spinner to do this? Like, I have so many questions.
We have the cost drama, so yeah.
Yeah, basically. And so he has auditions, and everybody's terrible except Drew. So he's like, I don't know. Like, I'll just do it, and I won't tell Allie. Like, which is horrible. Like, I mean, I understand why he did it, because, like, he needed a drummer. Mm-hmm. I do not understand why he did not call Spinner, who he clearly knows. Like, I don't know. Literally, Allie kind of shows up to school to get her ride home, though, and she catches him, like, literally taking, like, Bianca is taking a photo of him and Drew together on, like, her phone. Like, she's like, y'all look like rock stars. Like, take a photo. So it's, like, Drew and Bianca and her brother, who is, like, supposed to support her. Mm-hmm. And they have a huge fight at home about it. And Sav tells her that she has made his life a living hell. He brings up Johnny. He brings up the sexting. He calls her sex-crazed, stupid, and selfish.
Yeesh.
And I'm like, Sav, baby.
That was too much.
That was way too much.
That's too much.
And basically the next day, they wake up and she's missing. Like, she left in the night. And, like, the first reaction from her parents is horrible, too, because, like, I think their dad says, if she thinks she was in trouble before, she has no idea.
Mm.
And I'm like, y'all, your child is hurting.
Right.
Like, that was so mean of Sav. Like,
but also, it was a lot. It's still a lot of, like, Allie not taking responsibility.
Oh, yeah. She literally does that. Like,
and not recognizing that some of the things that she says rudely about Bianca, she has done herself.
Oh, yeah, she absolutely has. Like, and she does not want to take responsibility for this.
Right. So, you know, it's just, it's all very cringy.
It's a mess. So, like, and even, like, Sav is, like, not even, like, appropriately worried at first. Like, because he goes up to Holly J, who he's dating, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just caught up in the drama of the Ali Bendari show. I'm literally like, Holly J is the only one appropriately concerned right now.
You're missing, dude.
And then
we'll find your sister.
Finally, like, their mom, Mrs. Bendari, like, I guess, like, while she's home alone during the day, goes into Allie's room and realizes that she's, like, packed a bag and, like, she's, like, gone. Like, she took her clothes and stuff. And she freaks out and, like, calls, like, Sav back home to, like, hack into her, like, online journal, which is so sad because she's written, like, a very cryptic thing about the fight. And, like, they finally, like, call the police, which I'm like, why? If you woke up and your child was not home, regardless of, like, what their past history was, why would you not call the police?
It's the whole, like, they're a runaway, so they did this on purpose, and they might come back, and they're probably thinking she's being super dramatic, which, you know, that's what Sav's point of view is right now. She's being super dramatic right now about not getting her way.
Yeah, basically. I also, like, I wrote that it is wild to me that Jenna and Claire have B and C plots in this episode, and they never mention Allie being missing.
Right. Like, hello?
Like, because this is, like, when Fitz comes back. It's the same episode, the Jesus, etc. ones, like, where he shows up and he's like, I found God, Claire. I love you, Claire. And it's, like, too much. I'm like,
too much.
It's, like, too much is happening all at the same time.
Right.
But they finally, like, have a scene where, like, Mr. Bendari and Sav are, like, driving around Toronto, and they're, like, finally, like, the dad is, like, going off about Allie, like, talking about, like, how he's so angry with her, and, like, she's gonna be in so much trouble, and, like, finally, I think Sav, like, finally, like, realizes that, like, Allie has no space to be herself at home.
Right.
Like, none.
Therefore, she does the extreme.
So she goes to the extremes. Yeah. And, like, finally, Sav yells at his dad. And it's just like, you have got to stop treating her like this. Which, I really like that. Because, like, the Bendaris, like, go through a whole thing because of this runaway situation.
Right.
And they get to be, like, really supportive, really good parents. And I love this transformation for them.
Right.
But Allie, of course, goes to Johnny DeMarco's house. Like, his dorm room. And, like, I'm so glad he got a haircut. That greasy long hair with the hat.
Yeah.
So he's in college and he's doing better. And, like, she decides that she wants to, like, run away and become a nanny in, like, British Columbia or Vancouver or something like that. Someplace out west in Canada.
Right.
And, like, literally, like, she starts, like, planning to, like, buy a bus ticket. And she's going to, like, go and just, like, get a job as a live-in nanny. I'm like, girl, you are, like, literally one of the smartest people at your school. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And he, like, I mean, credit to Donnie DeMarco where it's due. Like, he obviously did some growing up when he went to college.
Right. He had some growth. Good for him.
Like, he was, like, letting her stay there. She told him, though, that she got kicked out, not that she ran away. Because Sav goes to his dorm, which I don't really know how he knew where his dorm was. And, like, is like, hey, Allie's missing. If you hear from her, like, please, like, tell her we want her back home. Mm. And, like, Johnny DeMarco is rightfully mad at Allie for this. Like, to be like, bro, you told me that you got kicked out, not that you ran away. Right. Like, and he tries to, like, do this whole plan where he, like, takes her around the school to be like, look, like, you only have, like, two more years with your parents, and then you get to go to college, and you get to live your own life, and it's gonna be fine. And she's still, like, stuck in this idea that she's gonna run away and be a nanny. And, like, they give her the worst disguise. Like, she has this bizarre blonde wig and these gigantic glasses. Because, like, she's like, well, I won't be able to, like, go anywhere in town if there's all these missing posters and people are looking for me. I won't be able to get out of town. And, literally, like, she goes and sleeps on a bench because she's mad at Johnny for, like, trying to get her to come home. And then, like, she gets mugged by a guy because she walks up to this guy and she's like, are you a runaway too? Will you show me how to do this?
That's the naive. I'm and too smart.
Like, girl, get it together. Like, and then he steals all her stuff. And basically, she goes back to Johnny DeMarco's apartment and her dorm room. And she's like, I don't have anything in the world. She's like crying. And, like, he opens the door and he had a cold salve. Mm-hmm. And Sav does the best thing, like, the best brother, I swear. I mean, he was really mean to her before, but, like, honestly, like I've yelled at my sisters quite a lot, so it is what it is. And he says, like, I'm not gonna make you come home, like, and I'm not gonna force you to come home, and just, like, you know, like, we're here, we want you to come home. Mm-hmm. And she eventually decides to go home, and, like, she shows up and she cries, and, like, she asks their family to go to therapy together, which, yes, family therapy.
Yes.
And, like, they decide that they're going to put everything that they found out about her in the past and move towards the future and, like, be a little less strict and a little, like, more, like, accepting of her life, which is great. And they have a really cute scene where, like, they're, like, put on, like, their parents made them put on, like, their, I would call them Sunday clothes, but, like, they're nice clothes, and they're like, we're taking a new picture of the new Bandari family, and it's that's really sweet.
It
and
is.
That's kind of, like, the end of Allie's, like, slut-shamey journey. I know it was a lot. But,
like, it was a lot, and I think because of you see the similarities between her and Manny, where they're trying to get this attention.
They also both have, like, pretty repressive parents too.
Yeah.
Like, just interesting thing that Degrassi does with immigrant parents.
Right.
I will call out that weird thing they do where like whenever the parents are real slut shaming, they're always like first generation, or whenever they won't accept their gay child, they're always like first generation. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's kind of like, which one of your Degrassi writers was, like, hurt by their first-generation immigrant Canadian parents? This feels personal because it's, like, Marco's family, Riley's family is, like, first-generation from Greece.
Yes.
Allie's family from India, and Manny's family is from the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm, like, I mean, Manny even has, like, a line at one point where, like, Emma's trying to, like, be like, oh, yeah, go home. Like, you can reason with your family. And she's like, no, well, your family is, like, 100th generation Canadian.
Like, your parents probably wouldn't send you away like they did my cousin.
Yeah.
Because, like, for just stepping out of line.
Yeah, exactly.
Her way. Like,
I mean, somebody was hurt by their immigrant family on the Degrassi writer's board or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Well, that leads us into, like, the next part, like, the, in hindsight, is hindsight 30-30? Is it? So, what is your feelings on, like, how Degrassi writers, like, handled this subject?
I feel like it is better handled than in their American counterpart shows, which I will bring up, like, The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Right.
Now I really want to rewatch. But, like, I really liked that they show how much it affects, especially Manny's life. Like, and how they actually address, like, it was the guy's job not to cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, because a lot of the time it's like, oh yeah, well, she's a homewrecker, blah, blah, blah. But like Manny does have that line where she's like, well, everyone forgets that Craig cheated.
Like, he's like, he cheated on his girlfriend. He's the one in the relationship. But,
Holly J says the same thing to Allie. Like, he was the one in the relationship, not Bianca. Like, right. So, yeah. I think they handled it pretty well, honestly. Like, I don't know, like, what they could have done better. Do you know what I mean?
I think during the times that these seasons and these particular storylines happen, we weren't ready to have the discussion of what does that really mean? Like, even like the word slut shaming it can be a bit much, but like the idea of these young girls wanting to express themselves and like they're seeking their, like, for these particular stories, even like with Bianca, are seeking attention, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, but they're also trying to express themselves and they're trying to kind of find their way, and some of it messes with their reputation more than they realized, mm-hmm. and I don't think we really took that into consideration when these storylines initially aired. Yeah. I think now we can see it and talk about it, and then also talk about some of the flaws that were in place, because we know, like, none of the guys in those stories really caught any flack.
Yeah, like, literally, like, Drew just gets to go on and be, like, still, like, the most popular guy. Craig still has, like, Ellie in love with him, and, like...
Right.
I mean, like, granted, like, Craig and Drew both have some character growth, like, after these episodes, but, like,
right.
I don't know. I don't know what they thought they were doing with Drew. I really don't. Like, I was like, where were we going with this?
I don't know.
Well, because he actually, like, cheats on Bianca later, too, with Katie, or, like, that situation is messy, too, because he's, like, dating Katie, and then she goes away to rehab for her pill addiction, and he, like, realizes he wants to be with Bianca again, and, like, then he gets, like, trashed and, like, sleeps with Katie and, like, falls down the stairs and is like, I had sex!
And but, yeah, like, Drew's messy. Drew's a messy one, and I guess he's supposed to be redeemable. I'm not sure how, but it's harder for the girls to be redeemed in some of these cases.
Yeah, definitely. Like, because they keep, like, suffering over these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I mean, honorable mention to other slut-shaming stories. Like,
right.
Like, literally, like, with Alex and her sex work problems. Like,
yes.
Straight up horrible. Like, and then, like, there are definitely, like, some slut-shaming with Zoe as well, like, after her assault. Like, mm-hmm. all those videos going around the school. But, like,
I think... Oh, and even with Paige, like, just, you know, shout out to Hazel for being a good friend, but, like, with Paige, just the idea that she liked this guy, and she stood up Spinner to go to a party with this guy, but, like, mm-hmm. she ended up assaulted, and then, like, because she's not outright, like, telling you exactly what happened, like, Spinner is a complete...
Oh, Spinner is awful to her.
And he has no clue what really went down, and, like, no one's really understanding, like, she's traumatized, like, but, like, looking back, like, you can clearly see, like, she's traumatized and, like, not talking about it, and she's suffering from it, and the only person mm-hmm. that really knows is Hazel.
And Hazel tries to tell Spinner at one point, because Spinner is being awful to her, because, like, Dean is coming to the school for the basketball tournament.
Right.
This is one of my favorite episodes, actually, because Dean is coming to the school for the basketball tournament. Paige doesn't want to be on the spirit squad for this event.
Mm-hmm.
And Spinner's like, oh, well, your boyfriend's back. Blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, really, like, get an asshole to Paige, like, right. The whole episode. And Hazel tries to talk to him, and he literally says, like, she said something like, what if she said no? And, like, you don't understand what's going on. Like, something right. like that. And he goes, the only person she said no to that night was me.
Absolutely
and I'm like,
not.
I'm like, Spinner, get yeah. out of your butt crack. Like, right. you're getting on my last nerve.
Get out of your feelings.
And the second time, but my favorite part of that episode is the second that she tells JT that he raped her.
Mm-hmm.
JT is like, oh, it's on site. And he's, like, right. in his, like, giant, like... And, like, JT used to be, like, in love with Paige. Like, mm-hmm. their friendship is one of my favorites on
the show. That was a cute little relationship. That was a cute little friendship.
literally tried to beat up this man while wearing a mascot suit.
Right.
And, like, he was like, no, come on, Mr. Rapist. Like, you want to fight? And I was like,
right.
I was like, JT, this man is, like, twice your size.
Right. We didn't deserve JT in that moment.
Well, listen, we very rarely deserve JT. He was there for comedic relief. He was there for... He God got real soul. Messy in that pregnancy storyline.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, so that comes... That brings us to the end of our episode.
I know, it was a long one.
It was, and after some editing, it might be a little shorter. But
we can edit out my coughing.
Oh,
coughing fit.
We'll have to try. But thank you again for listening to our second episode of Going There with Degrassi. You can find us on the Twitter at GTW Degrassi, and. Tell us what you think of the episode. Give us some feedback. Tell us your favorite moments from these storylines. And tell us that you're also a Manny Santos stan.
How are you not? More.
Right. How are you not? So, thanks, guys. See you soon.
All right. See ya.
Brought to you by Ricky Z Social Media.